Hi everyone, welcome to Uncensored. I'm Marianne, your host from Yacht's Mermaid. And today I have a really special guest. Her name is Belinda Kelly, who is the founder and creator of Bel Esprit. She is a transformational female coach and a former yachtie herself. She spent most of her career as a stewardess and also a deckhand and a physiotherapist, because that is her former career before yachting. So thanks, Belle, for joining us.
Thanks.
I'm very excited to have you.
So
as you guys know, this is a very intuitive show, and the words that kind of came up for us today was open, vulnerable, and ripping it off. And what comes up for you when I say those words?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is coming forward and as a woman and being open and vulnerable and, ripping off those layers that get put onto all of us in yachting, those mirrors, like just taking it all apart and being raw and being vulnerable and sitting here today to really talk about those topics, I suppose, and those things that happen in yachting that, sometimes get shoved under the carpet and why, the reasons why they happen.
I love it. So one of the things when you said that comes up for me is obviously the love affairs, that we are so desperately, what do you call it? Embodying on board so many of us, but yet again, it's almost like it's under the carpet or even judge, without no notion of what the other side, who's actually in the process of that is going through. What's your experience on that?
My experience or firsthand experience of this came about 6 years ago in working on a boat that I was working as a deckhand on, a deckhand masseuse and personal trainer. And I might just preface this by saying that prior to joining yachting, I had been in a long-term relationship for 10 years and then, exited that, got into yachting and was finding myself. And through finding myself, I actually had lost a little bit of respect in the way for how I valued myself and my self-worth and what I put as number one. And the reason for this was actually so silly. It was because I'd broken the guy that I was with's heart. And I felt a responsibility for doing that. And I never wanted to do that again. Now, it seems so strange to think that then I would go and self-sabotage relationships and whatnot following, but that's exactly what I did. Because I didn't want to be in a position where I would break someone's heart again. So this led to an affair on a boat. And it taught me so much. Which I think was one of the best things about it. It also absolutely ripped me apart from the inside out, and it caused me to take a year off yachting, but it also led me to the love of my life. So I think, there's a whole lot of things that happened during that time, but essentially, what I went through with the relationship, I'd known this man on board for a year before anything actually happened. He was married himself, but he was on rotation and was in a more senior role. And just found myself, one night out, come back to the boat after having a fun night out in the Caribbean. And he kissed me and I got up and I ran away and I was like, no, you're married. We can't do this. This cannot happen. And it was strange because there was this inner part of me, there was one voice inside my head that was saying, no, this is wrong. But there was another voice inside my head, the one that was like, well, he's unavailable and you're not going to get your heart broken. He's not going to get his heart broken, because I wasn't entertaining the relationship for it to become anything. And unfortunately it did. I fell in love with him and he fell in love with me, and but I never wanted him to leave his wife. So it was this like tug of war. It was trying to hide it from the captains, from other people on board, until it was sort of revealed, you know, that there was something going on, which then, and of course, is so
taboo. How was that revealed? Because was it because you guys couldn't physically or even energetically hide it anymore because it was so real, basically?
Yeah.
Or because it's so close quarters that one way or another, you know, people are going to find out?
I think it's a combination of both, to be honest. It's a combination of living in such close quarters with one another, and also, yeah, there was an energy that was between the two of us, and it was, yeah, bound to be found out. But yeah, I think definitely living in the close quarters and where we were at the time in the Caribbean, it was definitely not hideable. You know, you can't go very far. You can't escape to do anything, to be on your own. I think that's one of the biggest things with yachting. You know, there's boats that have limitations on no crew are allowed to have a relationship, which, you know, you've placed boundaries on people like this and rules and stipulations, and it's bound to actually cause people to want to then go and do it. We have a strange innate human behavior that wants to go against the rules in a sense. And yeah, when you're in port or you're not seeing other people for a long period of time, people do things that they otherwise wouldn't normally do. And yeah, so as I said, this relationship, it escalated on board the boat.
Did you guys have the rule on board while you were there that you couldn't
There was no rule on board our boat. I just know of other boats that there is that rule on board the boats. Of course, my captain sat me down and then sat him down individually and told us, you know, the relationship wasn't allowed to continue on board the boat because of the fact that he was married and that it made other crew feel uncomfortable, which I can totally understand and relate to. You know, particularly because I think some people knew this man's wife. So it was a very difficult situation for some people on board. And so it was nipped in the bud, I suppose, quite quickly. And he left, I then left not long after. And, you know, as I said, I ended up taking time off yachting, and I'd always said to
him, can we go back to like the whole fact that the crew were like, oh, I'm uncomfortable. Like, is it really, any of their business, you know, to really judge or make it their issue, you know, when it really has nothing to do with them or their family members or their relationships? Like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because I was then, you know, in my later years of yachting, I've been placed in a very difficult position myself, and I feel like almost mirroring the situation where I was on board a vessel where the chief steward or second stewardess at the time started a relationship with the chief officer on board, who was also married, and I knew his wife. So it was interesting how the tables turned in that regard, and me being then placed into that position, how I felt about it. And I'm actually still friends with both the women and the husband, and it was a very difficult situation. But because I'd been in a similar situation years before, and I kind of understood the background of why these two ended up together, and I don't think that there's ever excuse, but there's usually an underlying story about what is driving somebody to do these behaviours. And it was difficult being on the boat at the time, because the chief she was second steward at the time, was lying about the situation. And I think it would have made it easier if she had been more open about the situation. And that's what we discussed afterwards. Like I said, like, I'm still friends. There was no kind of judgment placed on them. And I've been that boat, there was extremely unprecedented amount of affairs, I think, on that boat, following, you know, this is a completely different boat, as I said, but where we had the other chief officer and his girlfriend, they ended up splitting up because she ended up with the second officer. So, I mean, it was a very in-your-face situation. And I think, you know, answering your question is, yeah, where do we sit on our judgment, and how can we stand back and not make it about us as crew members if we are witnessing other people having affairs, and maybe taking the view of, like, you know, what's going on in their lives that's actually causing this, and are these people in love, or is there something going on at home, or what's actually happened? Because in both of these instances, I'm friends with all of the girls and the boys still, but in all of these instances, these people were not necessarily happy in their relationships that they were in, which, you know, and they weren't owning up to why they weren't happy. The chief officers on rotation could go home and, you know, weren't happy potentially with their wife or with whoever was at home. There was a new baby in one of the instances, and so he obviously wasn't getting his needs met, and, you know, that mother was adapting to her new life, and it led him to look outside of the box or look outside, and then another girl. So it comes into this, like, this whole interplay. And as crew members, we can sit there and we can judge and say, you shouldn't be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that. But rather, I think what we should be doing is, why is this actually going on, and be there and support one another through it. Which I think, having had the experience I had so many years ago and then being faced with it with all these other crew on a new boat, it was such an eye-opening experience and growth. And I was able to hold space for the people involved and not put my judgments on it. And I think judgments are so inevitable and so ingrained in us, and we can sit there and point a finger and say this is right and this is wrong, but in actual fact what we need to do is take a step back and not actually be affected by what's going on, because at the end of the day it's not our hearts, it's somebody else's, and if we can help them understand it, then they can move through and grow and become better for it. And I'll say, in, like, you know, in the instances with these people that were involved and with myself, it was a learning, it was a growing experience. Yes, it tore me apart, it tore these people apart, it almost split the relationships up. But in all of these instances, these people are now saying, well, we weren't facing this together, we weren't communicating, we had lost this part of our relationship, and now they've worked on that together to get that back and moved through it. And that's what I think we have to do as humans, is understand that we're not perfect. We're put here as imperfect creatures who make mistakes. But if we can learn from these and grow from these, you know, that's what allows us to be better, rather than pointing the fingers and blaming one another.
Mm. So another thing that kind of comes up to mind as you're talking, obviously there is the underlying cause of something that's not being met. But I also wonder if, because we are so isolated for the most part on, you know, on boats, that kind of also leads to a quicker choice of looking outside the box, you know? Because, I mean, and I'm not saying obviously this happens in land, like that's pretty obvious. But it just seems to me like it's like the daily bread of yachting. Like, there's not one vessel, there's not one crew member that either hasn't been, you know, been themselves in that situation where they are part of the love affair, or that they have experience from an outsider perspective that somebody's having an affair, you know? Because I have even seen people literally who are on the boat together as a couple, and in the middle of the boat together, they're still having an affair with another crew member. I mean, that just, like, mind blows me, because I'm like, holy shit, like, that is, like, really crazy. Like, it's like, you really want to get caught, you know? I just wonder, you know, the dynamics of boat life, you know, how does that potentially could affect us in making different judgments or choices, right? Taking choices.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there with, definitely it's an isolated situation on board a vessel. And, you know, when there's a crew member that's not happy within their relationship. It, like you said, it can happen where it's on the same vessel and then they go and look for somebody else. It's quite often that because you're, and it's a bit incestuous, I suppose, because you are all working together, sleeping together, eating together, essentially. And so, you know, maybe the girl is not having too much or having a bit of difficulty with her partner, but one of the boys on deck she's friendly with. And so she goes and she confides in him. And then that leads to, that's how quickly it occurs, because, you know, that leads to this next step and the next step, and they're then hanging out, and maybe his rotation is that he's in the bridge, so they're doing exercise together, and then one thing leads to the other. And, yeah, there's these affairs, and I think it's very easy to happen on board a boat versus in the real world, because in the real world, you know, you might have lunch at work. Otherwise, you essentially, you're eating breakfast at home with your partner. You're coming home from work, but you're not on board of a vessel. And sometimes, yeah, you're stuck out there at sea doing a crossing or in isolated places. I mean, the vessel I worked on was in Antarctica, Patagonia, Iceland, Greenland. Like, these are places where there's not many other people around to interact with. So you really are left with the 22 other people on board. And yeah, that definitely creates a little bubble, I suppose. And it's a very unreal world that people.
And yeah, I have my own experience, of course. And I am on that side where I have also been part of the affair as I was the other one. And where I don't know if I never really have done the work around it, like, why did I put myself in that position or whatever. It was more of like me really understanding, like, we were at anchor for 2 years in Central America. And like, I mean, it was just like super isolated. And like you said, all you have around you is the next 22 people, you know? And it became like, and then also you can only go at home like 1 month out of 12 months. So it's just unrealistic that something like this is not going to evolve. And so, yeah, I was with one of the engineers and he was married. And to be honest, we were very clear into like what that was. And it was like, it was that or, you know, prostitutes, you know what I mean? In a sense, because yeah, what the other boys were doing, you know. And when somebody obviously just feels that they need something more than just obviously the physical side of the relationship, you know, sex, then obviously that kind of leads to a potential relationship with another human being, because there are other needs, you know, emotional and stuff like that are being met. And yeah, like you said, like, I never wanted him to leave his wife. I knew that the whole story had an end to it as soon as I left, because I knew he was not going to leave the boat, you know. He was been there for like many, many years. And, but it was, I never felt guilty about it. And, you know, I don't care what other people say, you know, it was like, and I felt really bad because my mom, you know, she was dumped, because of a love affair and all this. And I was like, oh my God, I mean that, you know, in the other side of the image. And I talked to her about it and she said, you know, as long as you know what you're doing and you're clear and there's boundaries within the whole situation, then, you know, it is your life. It is your exploration. And I never really felt guilty about the whole situation. And I feel that I was probably being judged by other members, probably behind my back. I mean, nobody really, you know, said anything to my face. But then again, out of six girls, three of us were with married men.
Yeah, wow. Boat, interesting. It's interesting what you say about the guilt aspect. Because for me as well, it was an internal knowing that this had to happen for me. It was like, I need to be going through this. It was the strangest thing. And I can relate to that, like, not feeling guilty. When I say it tore me apart, it tore me apart from the aspect of, like, actually letting myself fall in love with this person, but then not wanting them to leave their wife and be with me, and that questioning of, well, where does that put me? And it's that that idea that I wasn't putting myself as number one, and I wasn't putting myself first to have entered into this relationship. So it was that real kind of, I knew that there was a reason behind it, and I knew that he was a mirror for me, and I knew deep down, like, that going through that would then set me up and propel me into the next stage that I wanted to step into in my life. And that was that I would be considering myself number one and be okay with entering a relationship and not having the fear of breaking someone's heart, and actually not and being worthy of having somebody that was available and not being somebody unavailable. So yeah, that guilt piece is strong, because I think a lot of people, there's a lot of shame and there's a lot of guilt surrounding affairs and surrounding when they happen, and there's a lot of beating yourself up. And I'm not going to say that there wasn't times when I certainly did beat myself up, but I think the majority of the time there was this internal knowing, deep knowing, that getting through this and going through this, there was going to be a light at the end of the tunnel, and there was a lot of self-exploration that followed that allowed me to understand all of these pieces. And there was a lot of tears, there was a lot of brokenness, but I knew this, I had this unwavering knowing that this was coming, had come into my life for a reason.
Do you feel that the shame and the whole, you know, guilt trip that other people kind of sometimes put on others that are going through the process is because they themselves feel uncomfortable with the situation, because maybe they have felt the desire to do the same, or you know, I feel that there's such a shame around this topic because people don't want to face the reality that it's like normal.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that it's because they are putting that whole thing of like, it shouldn't be, it's not okay, then it's almost like it gives it power, you know, Instead of just like, it is what it is. It's just relationships. Literally, you're constantly relating to things, to people, to everything in life is a freaking relationship. And then it's like, well, if something like this happens, it's really only the people that are in that union, you know, deal things, you know, like everybody else that is watching and has a trigger, then do your fucking work, you know, like there's something there for you.
Yeah, exactly. No, and that's the thing is, it's very interesting circumstances, and I've been very open actually, with a lot of people I've worked with about that relationship. And it comes full circle because I have put myself out there to be judged by other people, and I have said, you know, I was in a relationship with a married man. You know, I told my parents as well, and also similar to, you know, what you said, as much as they were not happy about it, you know, if this is what you're choosing, then this is what you're choosing. Just, you know, make sure that you're protecting yourself and respecting yourself, I suppose. So yeah, I have felt judgment from people initially as well when I share that, but I've been open to sharing it because I share it because I say to them, you never know when you're going to be in that situation yourself. You never know when, you know, you might be forced to actually have a look and sit there and go, well, I'm not going to judge. And it was funny because it happened to the exact girls on the boat that I worked on, like where I was judged. And no, you know, they had that opinion of everything's black and white in life. And if that happened to me, then I would leave my man. Or if that happened to me, and I'm not sitting here on a high pedestal or anything saying, because through it, I never said I told you so. There was none of that through it all. It was more like, no, I'm going to hold space for you whilst you're in this because I understand and I've been there. And there is no need to judge. And, you know, when people do put that judgment, if they do put it on me, I'm like, that's fine. That's your opinion. And you have to do your work. You're feeling triggered by that. Why are you feeling triggered? Because it has got nothing to do with you. And like you said, it's about them actually sitting back and going, how do I have a place in these people's lives, and how is it affecting me, and why is it affecting me? Why is it that these two are on board and what they're doing, like, how is that affecting me? And it comes back, I suppose, to values, and values maybe that you've been brought up with for some people, I think, and then placing that judgment onto others. And I think it's better if we can step back and be there for one another rather than sit there and point fingers.
And yeah, totally. I agree. You just gave a lot of advice on how to deal with this on board. So thank you. One thing I believe, and catch me if I'm wrong, did you ever met the wife of the person that you were having a relationship with?
So funnily enough, I was contacted about 9 months after the whole thing. We hadn't seen one another, and I was in South America. No, I was in Central America, I was in Guatemala at the time, from him to say his wife had found out and, you know, she would probably contact me. I said, okay, fine. He'd asked me not to say anything to her, and not to speak to her. And she emailed me, I think, twice. And I thought, no, you know, this woman does deserve to hear from me. She's asking for this clarity. So it wasn't until I think I was in Mexico then, about a month later, that I emailed her back. And we had quite a few back and forth emails. And I allowed her to be angry at me because I thought, you know, I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to lie about any of this. I was very open and honest with her. I was, you know, told her I never wanted him to leave her. I told her that I never intended for a relationship to develop with him on board, and also, you know, explained with it. I just spent the last 8 months traveling through Central and South America, working on myself and understanding the situation, and that I was very sorry for the hurt that she'd been through from the relationship, and that I hoped they could work through it, and that I knew that, you know, he did have a love for her, and, you know, that it was something he had to work on, and that I believed that we'd entered a relationship together for reasons, for each our own individual reasons. So I had mine and I had to work on my stuff, and, you know, he entered into the relationship with me because he needed to work on his stuff. And so after her initial, anger and whatnot against me, and there was she'd asked if I would sign an affidavit because I think she was intending to have a divorce. And I said, yes, I'd be happy to. And, but we'd had quite a few emails back and forth. And I said, hey, do you want to actually just chat on the phone? Excuse me. And so she did. And we chatted on the phone, and she was very grateful. There was no anger towards me on the phone, because I think by then she'd worked through a lot of the stuff, and she was really appreciative of what I, you know, how open I'd been with her. And when we did chat on the phone, it was more just chatting, giving her an understanding, I suppose, of the relationship between the two of us. And it ended very amicably. I could actually see a lot of me in her, and I could hold space for her, and she could hold space for me, actually, because I think we both had we loved that man. So, you know, we both had that interest at heart, that although she was feeling broken, I'd also been broken as well. But I didn't want to take that away from her. And she knew that, but she also wanted to heal as well. And I mean, at the end of the conversation, she was kind of like, hey, I can see you're a really good person. And although, you know, I'm sitting here and I may most likely get a divorce from my husband, I know that you're saying that you don't want to be with him, but I know that he has got a love for you. And if you do end up together, then I would have no problem with you picking our kids up from school and with you being involved in our lives. And I was like, whoa. and I think it was a moment of pure gratitude that I'd done the work and I didn't have my defenses up, and that it wasn't about destroying a family for me, and that she understood that I never had any intention to destroy or pull a family apart. You know, that the relationship came about by circumstance, and it came about because, and she admitted that they were having problems at home and there was a lot of things going on at home, which then obviously, because his needs weren't being met and he wasn't feeling that love from home, led to him looking outside of his relationship. And these two people are actually still together. They've had two more children and they worked through their stuff. So, you know, they didn't end up getting a divorce. And I don't know whether that had anything to do with me or not, because I'm sure they went and had counseling and did all the rest, but I was open and honest about the situation. And I think that's key. in any of it. Be open, be honest, be vulnerable, you know, be prepared to be yelled at, be prepared if that other person needs to be angry, let them be angry. Let people have their emotions and hold space for that. And, you know, also if you need to do that, if you're in that situation and you're the one with the married person, you also need to be okay with being able to cry and being able to be open and heal that side of you that needs to be healed.
I love it. Oh my God. I love this story. It's like a real fairy tale. you know, like the real, real human fairy tale, where at the end, everything came full circle and everybody understood what role they were playing for each other and really supporting each other throughout the whole process, whether it was conscious or unconsciously, you know, being given, you know. Wow, I love it. So thanks so much for, again, being open and vulnerable and showing up and, you know, talking about your experience, because I know that it's not easy for a lot of people out there that are going through it right now, or that have even thought about it, or that maybe are on the other side of the spectrum where they're like the victim of it all, or, you know, they're doing this to me. So I want to close the show with asking you what advice can you give to the person that is maybe in the situation where they are the other person, right, in the relationship? And what advice could you give the person who is on the other side, which is the, right, like the perpetrator and the victim, let's say, right?
I mean, I think for both people, it is about, and you use the word victim, and I think that's such a strong and incredible word, because we very often victimize ourselves in situations like, why me? Why is it happening to me? The world's falling down, Chicken Little, like, you know, disaster, disaster, disaster. And so when we find ourselves in these situations as either the person who is having the affair or the person that is, like, you know, the one that is being cheated on, we victimize ourselves. We put ourselves in a state of, it's all happening to me. But instead of putting yourself into that state, it's, how can I learn and how can I grow and how can I open to healing this space inside of me that needs to be healed? When you're the person who is being cheated on, I think, you know, and I think, I know that I've got a lot of friends in yachting and people who have been cheated on multiple times. It's really about sitting back with that and going, where are my values? Why am I the victim? And how can I address, like, these things inside myself and show up for myself more, love myself more? Because it's the thought processes that actually attract that behavior anyway. So if you're constantly thinking doubts and you're constantly thinking that you're not worthy and you're constantly thinking that you don't deserve this relationship, or something's going on, he's going to do this or she's going to do that, then that's what you're attracting in. So you're attracting that victim mentality. And it's the same then for the perpetrator, because you're then there looking for love, but you're looking for love for the wrong reasons, to fill a hole, I think, within a lot of the time, because you're unhappy in your life and your needs are not being met. And you're not able to sit there and say, well, I'm available and I'm worthy of being someone's number one choice, and I am feeling lonely and I'm not feeling good enough, but this person here is showing me attention, so therefore I'm going to allow that in. And it's about, again, sitting back and seeing your thought processes and changing the story of your thoughts in both scenarios to be, I am worthy, I am good enough, I deserve love. And it's also about making peace with yourself as a whole, and as a human being, being whole and not looking for someone else to complete you in all those scenarios. Because if you love yourself and you love yourself 100%, you're not getting, you know, you're not needing anybody there to complete you. When you find that relationship with somebody who serves you and who grows with you, it's because they're also a complete person. And the two of you, like, grow together, and you're not relying on one another, because when you rely on one another, it's an energetic exchange and the person feels that. So if you can come in whole to a relationship and that person's whole, it's such an authentic and incredible experience. So I think if you're in any of those ways, it's how can I be whole? And it's asking that question.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And it's so true, because, you know, I do want to close the session of the show with, you know, recently I had a remembrance that, you know, falling in love is a false, is not real. Why? Because when you're falling in love, you're saying, I'm lacking something. Give me. You have what I don't have. When you are really, like you said, in love with yourself, you come into a relationship saying, how can I explore this love that I feel for myself with another being?
Yeah.
So it becomes an exploration and not so much of a give me and take. And and I think at the end of the day, all these affairs and all these relationship moments that we have in our lives, they're all asking of us to do the same thing. Love your fucking self. Go back. Exactly. Go in, you know? So I think...
And don't victimize, you know? It's just, yeah, take that responsibility for yourself.
Exactly.
And you know,
and that's you know, the victim archetype, one of the things that we need to acknowledge is that it has an amazing ability to feel compassion.
Yeah.
And the perpetrator archetype has an amazing drive to get what it wants. So when we really understand these archetypes and combine it and say, you know what, I'm going to have the drive to be compassionate towards myself and love myself, then, you know, that's when self-love really happens. So thank you so much, Belle. This has been amazing. I'm pretty sure this is going to help a lot of people out there that may be in different situations in their lives within their own relationship, you know. So this has been, you know, like you said, transformational, as you are a transformational woman's coach. So if you want to get in touch with Belle, you're going to follow the links below. She's also part of the support directory of Yats Mermaid. So you can go into the Yats Mermaid site support directory and you can find her there as well. And yeah, that's a wrap. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bye, everyone. I'm Marianne from Yats Mermaids, your host for Uncensored, a Yachting International radio show.